November 13, 2023, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Watt from Pedro Show, happy Monday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Naima live in 65. Some last gigs of the classic quartet. Then another demon with Skull Vessel. And because of those software engineers that are starting with their Skype invention, I got with me Mr. Nether Demon himself, Max Capshaw. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Absolutely. We got to give Sick Walt credit for the connect.
Yep. And Chris Pizzolo credit.
Absolutely, too. Brother Chris. Yep.
What a great guy.
Let's get right to it. Earliest musical recollection, please. Okay, bring it.
Let me ask. So I know that you start off with Train's great quartet every time.
No. Sometimes it's him just talking alone. Sometimes it's him with other cats. Yeah, but
okay, cool. Well, that answers my question because I was wondering if it's always live.
No.
Gotcha.
It's all kinds of stuff. Just anything John Coltrane, because he was after. He was into musicians being after some kind of truth, and I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but back to my question.
Earliest yes, sir.
Musical recollection, please.
Earliest musical recollection. Okay, so my father worked for Bill Graham at the Fillmore East. And so I was brought up with a lot of those bands in the late 60s. And so my earliest musical recollection was hearing the band and being able to put the needle on the record. My dad at parties would have me go put the needle on the record for music at Big Pink.
Okay, yeah, we're talking Rick Danko on bass.
Oh, yeah, man.
Really good, and trippy voice. Richard Manuel, too, they all had trippy voice.
Yeah, man, and they should be household names, you know. It's too bad that they're not at this point, but they should be household names.
Well, they are with me. An incredible, a good band. Excellent band. I mean, it's trippy time. You had to dress like you were in the Civil War or something, but it seemed like, no, they were resistant to the genre thing. You know, they could play whatever they wanted to. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Now, there was the stereo to play at home, but was there any musical instruments?
No, there were not. My father loved music, but he was told at an early age that he didn't have any music in him, so he just kind of went away from that. And then my mother, she just was never really interested.
Okay, then let me ask you, at school, like the marching band or the choir, were you in shit like that?
Yeah. So they wanted me to play. And so early on, I remember in middle school, right? You have to choose an instrument. Okay, come play in either the jazz band or come play in the orchestra, right? So my mom chose for me the cello. So I had to carry around this big ass thing all over the place. And so I played the cello for a few years. And then I went into the music room there, and the marching band was playing. And I said, whoa, what's that? And it was the drum section. And so then I got really into the snare drum stuff.
Now, did you bring any of this? This was just at school. You didn't have a drum set at home.
I did not. We lived in an apartment in the top of New York City. So, you know, that wasn't going to fly too well with the old lady upstairs.
Yeah, it makes good sense. And so, first record you bought with your own money.
Oh, man. Okay. I know it. First record I bought with my own money was Quadrophenia.
And first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was with my father, and we went to see the Dead because his buddy was working the show.
Fillmore East.
This was later. Yeah, this was, I forget which same crew, right, that were doing the productions and everything.
Yeah.
But I forget the venue.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. the first gig you did, was it for the school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I was also in the chorus, and so we did, we were the Harmonaires, and so we did a record at, you know, I think I was probably 8, 9 years old, maybe 10, and so that was one of the, that was probably the first gig I ever did, was singing.
Whoa, okay, and do you remember where?
Yeah, you know, in our school, you know, in front of all the moms and
so
dads.
Like a recital thing, okay.
Yeah.
Because some cats tell me about in school they had like competitions, they'd go to different schools and shit like that. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so what about, not after school like graduating, but after school in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage band, the basement band, do you get into that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, man, so... Once we moved, you know, we moved around a lot, and then once we finally got settled in the suburbs of New York City, we finally had a place. So we had the basement, and that was the spot, and all, you know, all the brothers would come over, and, you know, we started to play music, and we started to make bands.
Okay, and how'd you decide who was going to play what? I'm curious about this, you know, when you're kids, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, I think one of my buddies, you know, he wanted to be the front man, right? He wanted to be, you know, out there. I've always had a passion for the drums. You know, I love the way they sound. I love the way they feel. That's my heart. So it was me always on the drums. And, then, you know, I was like, well, what can you do? You know, I don't know. I think I can play this thing called a bass. All right, so you play that. And then, you know, my buddy played guitar, and one of our other buddies, I don't know, if I hand you a microphone, can you do something? Yeah, sure. So that's how we started.
Okay. You must have got a trap kit then.
Oh, yeah.
How?
Oh, yeah. So I got that for Christmas one year, man. That was all I wanted. And, I remember my parents saying, well, we don't know if it can happen because we didn't really have any money at the time. They made it happen, man. I came down Christmas morning, man, and there it was.
And obviously, a lot of times when you have the practice band or something, it is at the drummy's pad, right? Because you don't have to tear up.
Yep.
Tear down set up, yeah.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
Your parents get double bonus for putting up with that, right?
That's right, man. That's right. Still to this day, man, if I have set up over there. So sometimes I'll go over there and see them, and I might knock around a little bit in the basement. So still to this day, man. But my mom and dad, boy, they get all the credit.
In that first band, what were you guys doing? Were you writing stuff, or were you trying to copy songs off records, or what?
No, we were writing stuff. We never did the cover thing, I could never do covers except for as a drummer playing later on in life when I got into jazz playing standards. I mean, that's different than doing covers, I feel like, right, because of all the interpretation.
Yeah, right. You take the basic outline and then you make it your own.
Yeah. So, no, we were writing stuff pretty much right off the bat. We were, you know, young rockers. And we were writing all really cool, what I think was really cool rock songs.
But what was the first, did you ever do gigs or was it just a practice band?
So, I can't remember, man. Oh, no, wait, I do remember now. We played one gig, right, at the local hotspot there for young people to hang out. And then right after that is when I got my first call for a professional gig.
Whoa.
So then that dropped everything out, you know, from there with my buddies. You know, we were always, you know, still great friends, but then I went the other direction.
And what was that first gig like?
Oh, man. So that was a blast, man. You know, you're a young kid, right? And you and your buddies are all together, and maybe there's some young ladies out there that you might have your eyes on in the high school, and people show up, right? And you're all hyped up, and you do your thing, and it's like the proudest moment you ever had, man.
So it was a success, this gig.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, by our early teenage standards, sure it was.
Okay, that's great to hear. Well, I want to play some Sick Walt.
Position, a soft clay vessel holding source. My decomposition is a redistribution of that wealth. A pour for source longs to be held and to be free in cycles of tension and relief. How we delight in life, in love's tension, and how we grieve in death, in love's relief, like vibrating and quieting strings. We are organic and spiritual materials, and while our bodies may be separate, our spirits are one. Decomposing, I feel deep the movement of strings. May my movement be a prayer. Darling, I love you more. 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 I love you more.
Show that chunk of music start off with Sick Walt doing Everybody's Lucifer.
Yeah.
MB Jones after that, along with Florence Lugamois doing Chemical Straight. This is draft number one. Position Normal after that, their new album. This is part 3 of 10, Whistle Conversion. Then Snore with Erosion. Aruba Avoa with Visita As Rionis. Dosidrone with Portna Bukai. Excuse me. Pardon. Just Joy with Decomposition. And finally, Another Demon with Deaf Gods. Okay, let's take it from the fucking call, the pro call. What happened?
Oh, man. Far out. So, I went to CB's, and I went to CBGB's, right? And I was down there and just hanging out. I was this young guy about, 17 years old, and just talking with the big dogs there. And I gave my, then I was asked for my phone number by Pete Kohler from the band Sick of It All. And I couldn't believe it. I was just, this kid. And we were talking about music, and I mentioned that I was a drummer. And he said, hey, I think our drummer's leaving. And I gave him my info, and I didn't hear anything for 6 months. Of course, I didn't ever expect to hear anything ever. And then 6 months later, the phone rang, and they said, you want to come down and do an audition?
Okay, and how'd that go?
Well, I was, I was scared to death, but I showed up, and I did it, and I played my best. And I got the gig, man.
Okay. How long did you have to wait till they let you know?
So they, they were kind of like big brothers hazing me. And so they told me right away, they said, okay, so you're going to come back next week and you're going to learn X, Y songs, that kind of stuff. And I said, great. And they, they didn't say anything. Then I came back and we did this for like a couple of weeks. And then they said, okay, so you're going to be playing with us for a while. And I never knew how long it was going to last. But, we did a couple of years.
Do you remember your first gig with them?
Oh, yeah. It was funny. I wasn't really, I wasn't nervous. It was at the Anthrax. Maybe you played there in Connecticut?
Sure.
Yeah. So it was at the Anthrax, and of course it was packed, and I'm this young guy. I'd been in the Anthrax a ton of times, but here I am now playing it. And even though I wasn't necessarily nervous, and I don't really know why, man, so many sticks flew out of my hand. I lost so many sticks. My hand was cramping up, and man, I like practically killed the front row with these things.
Whoa.
I just kept losing them.
Yeah. Sweaty hands.
Yeah, sweaty hands, man. And holding the sticks too tight and being a novice at this whole thing. But man, it was the greatest feeling.
What did the older guys say?
they broke my chops, and they were kind of like, all right, kid, not bad. So on to the next.
Did you guys tour?
Yes, we did. We toured, for their first album in 1989, their drummer went on to do his own thing. He wound up coming back and been with them for, forever. But I did their first U.S. tour, and first thing we did was fly out with the Bad Brains out to the West Coast in 89. And we, this was all, uncharted territory for all of us. We'd never been out west before in our personal lives either. And, being with the Bad Brains meant that we were playing, really cool places, and people were coming to see it, So I remember, the Janes guys coming and the Fishbone guys coming, and they were my idols, man. They were my idols. So, it was pretty wild to have to step up to the plate and take that swing.
And what about record?
So I never recorded with them. I was in and out, a few different times, and I never got to record with them.
Just for gigs?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be that way. I don't think that it was intended to be that way, but timing works. The universe does what it does.
And what was your process learning their stuff? Charts?
Oh.
Memory? What'd you do?
Yeah. Memory. I didn't know about writing down music until much later in life, and I wouldn't have done that anyway. There's certain music I think that is more conducive to writing out charts.
Well, I'm talking more about John Coltrane said that you play stuff better if you got it memorized. But I'm wondering about the learning part. Here you're a young guy, and you weren't that familiar with their music yet, right?
Right. And I, you know, I'd never been in that position before, so I had to develop my own way of learning all this music, right? So what I did was I remember I had a cassette, and I would drive, you know, whenever I would drive, I would just constantly listen to it, whether it was background or whether I was conscious of it, because, you know, the subconscious processes all of this stuff, and ultimately it winds up just coming out.
Okay, so you just pounded it into your own fiber, your body.
Yeah, man.
Okay, because you didn't really have a concept of verse and chorus and bridge and intro, outro.
No, not really, man. I mean, I knew when everybody was shouting, that was probably the chorus, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, when there was a gang and chant
and
there,
did they ask you to do certain things? Hey, we want snare here. We want ride cymbal here. We want hi-hat here.
You know what they would say is,
what?
You don't hit the drums heavy enough as our previous guy did. So hit them harder. And they said, stick to the recording.
So they had you learn off the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The record hadn't come out yet, and they gave me a copy of it, and they said, learn this.
Okay. So then, because I thought maybe it was just the guitar, the bass, and the singer, and you just having to fill in, but you actually had a template there. And this is the cat who would rejoin them later?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, trippy thing. And
yeah, man.
But, you know, sink or swim, right? What better way to get into it?
Yeah, so, it was, yeah.
When you leave those guys, after that West Coast tour with the Bad Brains, was it soon after that?
It was.
Then what'd you do?
So then after that, the interesting thing was, you know, that was a real spark, right?
Yeah.
And so that coincided really with that, what I call sort of the second wave of the New York hardcore scene, with a lot of the bands that we know that are out there still today. And so I wound up becoming, in essence, a very young hired gun for a lot of those bands. So I got called by Murphy's Law, and we went around, did some touring. I got called by a lot of other bands in New York just because I could play the stuff, you know.
Adrenaline OD?
Oh, AO, you know, AOD, that's funny. I wound up jamming with them maybe in the 2000s, but that was way, way, way later.
Yeah, because they're early on, right?
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
They were Jersey guys.
Right. Well, really, was there Manhattan bands? I guess Beastie Boys.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Lower East Side, you got to remember, like, the whole thing was happening at CBGB's, right?
Sure, of course. But I wonder how many people, a lot of people didn't live on the Bowery that were in those bands.
Absolutely. No, of course. But, like, most of them, you know, were from Queens or Brooklyn or just outside in Jersey, you know?
Right. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Max. November 13, 2023, this WAP Pedro Show. Hang tight for hour two. November 13, 2023, it's second hour of WAP from Pedro Show.
from the beginning. You knew you were faking. You claim you're always here, the starting gun. And in the end, it was a mess of your making. And now there's no hope for you. You kept your running and you left your horse to die. Yeah.
for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Sick Walt doing Butcher's Dog. Then we had Russ doing Pig Haver. Sir Dad after that. Scurry Dad, sorry. An alternative. Wheels of Giants, Thrown to the Wolves. The remix. Volks Kempfanger, Get Off My Back. And finally, Sick Walt. Love of My Alignment. Okay, Sick Walt, he's been on the show. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he is.
I want to see how did this connect with you and him happen?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we went to college together, and we found each other very quickly in college and became roommates, man. And so we lived together for years, and but we didn't know. I was playing music, and he was coming to see me and stuff, and all these different bands I was doing and gigs that I get hired for. And but we didn't know he could sing until Sick Walt happened 20 something years later. So
you knew the man not musically for 20 years before you knew him musically.
Yeah.
But shit like that happens.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know, like you were saying before earlier during the last hour, things happen because they happen.
That's it, man. Yeah. Universe tells you what it's going to do when it's ready.
Now, from what I remember him telling me, he was working a pad that he ends up playing at, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And are you part of that?
Yeah. I started that. I had these songs, a bunch of these songs written, and I wanted to record them. And I played all the instruments on all that stuff, and I was like, man, who am I gonna get to do this thing? And I was like, man, Walt's like the greatest guy, you know, the greatest front man in the rough ever. And
you just had a feeling about this.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. I called him and he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, man, like what? You know, why not, man? Why not you? Like, you're the funnest guy ever to hang out with, and you love music more than anything else. Just step up, man. I'll help you out. And we went in and recorded the stuff, and he nailed it, man, right off the bat. He nailed it. He has a ability to just look at things and be able to make them happen.
Now, you said you played everything. When did you learn this other shit, like bass and guitar and stuff?
Yeah, you know, along the way. And what happened was,
I got to tell you, Max, I'm a big believer. If you can play drums, you can play anything, because it's all rhythm music.
Yeah, man. Music is all rhythm. So, hey, what was the second instrument that human beings came up with? Was percussion.
Probably was. Beating on their chest or their feet on the ground from dancing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe the voice first, but yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, that's what I assume. The voice first and then the rhythm.
Okay. So you went on to learn these things, and it was the same as, well, you had a little school help with the drums, right, the snare drum.
Yeah, exactly.
What about these other instruments? Was that man alone?
That was all necessity being the mother of invention.
Yeah.
Hats off to Frank. But, yeah, man, so I was writing a lot. I had been validated in my writing when I had formed this band called H2O a few years before that. And a couple of my songs became part of the set. And I said, wow, man, I really want to keep writing. And I did. And then when it came time to record, it was just easier for me really to learn some technique on these different instruments and just go and make my vision happen.
What were you composing on? Did you compose those first H2O songs on drums?
On guitar.
Guitar,
so
okay.
Yeah.
So you knew a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, then my fascination, I've always had a fascination with the bass. Quick, funny story, if I can get it in, was I remember being a kid, right, and playing Rush for my dad, right, and going, hey, what's that sound right there? I like that. And he's like, well, that's a guitar. And I said, okay, well, I want to play guitar also with playing the drums. Well, what he was talking about was Geddy Lee playing the bass. So.
Oh, you didn't know the difference between a bass sound and a guitar sound.
Yeah, not in that, you know, in that type of music, right?
Yeah, sure, sure.
And so I think I would have got started a lot earlier on the bass had that not been misconstrued.
It happens, it happens. Yeah, you know, yeah, people say, right, yeah. Four-string guitar. I tell you, my experience now, less younger, been doing it a little while, four-string drum set. Look, here's some music you gave me from a project called Poor Lily.
Yeah.
When the joke is over.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Poor Lily doing Here Come the Waves. And brand new from Bob Pollard, Circus Devil Proj. He ain't done that in a while. The Joke Is Over. Tobin Sprout, associate. Too Late for That. Steve McKay with the Blue Prostitutes doing I Try Not to Think Elephants. This is from Caesar's Palace, October 16, 2007. That's a Brooklyn studio. And then finally, Poor Lily. Police Take Notice. Okay, educate me about Poor Lily, Max.
All right, man. So Poor Lily happened at Thanksgiving. I hadn't been playing in a while, and I had just gotten married. And my wife's younger cousin was a big punk rock fan. In fact, Minutemen is his favorite band, so we'll give a salute there. And so I said to him, I said, hey, man, I got this music that I want to record. It was the same thing as Sick Walt. I said, and I know you can do it, man. So same thing. I played all the instruments on it, and I called him in. And he wrote some really great lyrics, and he went in there and did it. And then we said, hey, man, let's put a band together. So we got another buddy of mine on the drums, and we were off and running. So my buddy Adam, who is the bass player singer, my wife's cousin, he'd been playing bass, and so he was great for that. I switched to guitar for that live. And we shared vocals, and we had our good buddy Dominic on the drums, and we did a lot of playing.
Now, you see, in a way, it was like this Sick Walt trip, where except he had been playing some bass.
Yeah, except Adam had been playing some bass.
Because Sick Walt never did any music before that, right?
No, he didn't.
No, because I remember when he was on the show, he told me it was just balls out.
Yeah, it was, man. It was. That's why.
Did you do that jail gig with him?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Chris Pizzolo, myself, and him. Yeah.
Chris was on the bass for that, right?
Yeah, that was some wild shit, man.
No. So what was the first Poor Lily gig?
So first Poor Lily gig was great, man. We got. We got into this great, what at that point was a new club called the Cake Shop down on the Lower East Side.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so we got in there with some friends of ours who were doing some reunion stuff. And so played there, and then we played.
Well, you got to tell me how it went. How'd it go? Because this is your cousin's first gig, right?
Yeah, man. It was a blast. You know, we didn't. Well, I tell you what was amazing was there were no gremlins in the house, so we didn't have any technical difficulties.
Okay.
So the show went off really well. People really dug it. And, you know, so that obviously pumps you up. And we had booked another show for the next day with the same package deal there. And I forget where we traveled to. I think that might have been out to St. Vitus in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And we played there. Two nights in a row, and by the end of that, Adam couldn't even speak, because that was the first time he'd really done the front man thing.
Yeah,
but
it was great. It was a power trio.
Yeah, it was a power trio, man.
Okay, so it's, maybe a little bit of Cream.
I know
you mentioned Russian shit, but what about Cream?
Oh, yeah, man. Sure, okay. Of course, man. Ginger and Jack and Eric.
Of course.
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. November 13, 2023. This Watt Pedro Show special guest, Max Capshaw. Hold tight for hour three. November 13, 2023. Third hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
this cold. I can't hear you. This place is cold. I can't hear you. This place is cold. Ice is on the ground.
Watt for Pedro show, start off third hour. Ash Can doing Provider. Then we had Crane with Let There Be Peace. Marty Stern, Believe in His Seeing. Aaron Damastis, live at Knesset Gallery in San Francisco, June 16, 2021. Finally, Another Demon with Drawn and Quartered. So first, Ash Can. Hit me to
the Max. So, yeah, man, Ash Can was a real great time because that was with all my good friends. And I believe you had one of my good friends in Ash Can on here once before. I don't know if you recall the L.A. band Nocona.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So
cool,
so
very cool people.
Y'all, they're the best, man. Chris and I grew up, we went to high school together. He was an East Coast guy.
That's right.
And then he moved out with his lovely wife, Adrienne, out to L.A., and they've been doing Nocona.
Culver City, right.
Yeah, yeah. So Chris and I were, we were becoming apprentice alcoholics in Westchester here, and, you know, playing music. And we had a few other buddies, a great, great drummer at the time, because this was when I switched over to playing guitar and singing. And we had a great, great drummer at the time, Mark Levy, who's in now he lives in Bozeman, and
Montana.
But terrific guy, but very, very played in just about every band in New York as well. And so we did this stuff, and we went down to part of my my dream was to was always to go to Inner Ear in D.C. because D.C. was like that was the stuff. I was from New York, but man, I loved that D.C. music.
Yeah, and for a while, the Bad Brains, right, A7, they were playing there and kind of living.
Yeah. So,
Adam Yauch was telling me how Daryl Jennifer taught him a lot. And then he taught Harvitz. Interesting the way things are all connected. So you're saying that Ash Can was you and Chris from Norcono and this a drummer man, Mr. Levy. And how long did this band last?
So this band lasted about, I would say, 2 years.
Okay. And did you get to play D.C.?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we did get to play D.C. We wound up getting on a tour with some of my good friends out in the West Coast there. And they came east, so a band called Lagwagon. Oh, and All.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And All, Billy, the Descendants.
Yeah. Exactly. So we
want. Oh, you know what? There's some kind of connect because one of the Dag Nasty guys was singing All for a little bit. That's right. Dave Smalley. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's all connected, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
One more prize you got to hit me to. I should have asked this at the beginning, but we played another tune. Another Demon.
Oh, yeah, man. So Another Demon is very recent. Okay, so an itch to go back and start playing some thrash stuff. And again, I went in, I did everything myself, and this time I said I'm doing a thrash project, and I went in, did all the music and did the vocals, and I had no intention of playing out. And let me correct that for a second. What I wanted to do was play with Chris from Nocona, but he was in L.A., right? This was during COVID. And so we decided with the beauty of modern technology to start shipping back and forth riffs and things like that. So I beg your pardon, Chris Isom played some guitar on that, too.
Okay, and so it's not just man alone. But what is different is this time... Yeah. You're also the front man.
Yeah, exactly. And so so then I said, I don't really want to play this stuff out just because it's going to be hard to put a band together, right? Because I didn't have Chris here. But I wound up finding these cats not too far away, and they were phenomenal, man. They blew me away. They were already getting their act together, but they were looking for a bass player and they were looking for a singer. Which they thought would be two different guys. So we got together, didn't know each other, but they were, they've been veterans, and it jived, man.
What was the connect? How did you find each other?
So you know what's funny about that, man? That was straight up Craigslist.
Whoa! See, people? You can do more than spread lies and hate with the internet. You can fucking get new bands going.
Yeah.
Look, let's listen to some Ashcan.
Take the-
Watch for Pedro Show last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Ashcan doing Manchester Sutra. Then we had Anti-Strawberry with Live at the Apollo House, San Francisco, June 29, 2015. Eugene Chadbourne, Professor Huge, out of Greensboro, North Carolina, with Nell. That's with the K, people. Finally, Poor Lily with Concealed Carry. So, the plan now is this Another Demon with the Craigslist band.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And remember, you guys, have you done a gig? You haven't done a gig. You've just done practices.
No. Well, so at that point in our conversation, that was the case. But so then we went in and did the recording that you just played.
Right.
And we played a handful of shows to fantastic reception.
Oh, okay. Where was the first gig for Another Demon?
So the first gig for Another Demon was at this really cool place in Brooklyn called Lucky 13.
Okay.
And that went really well. And then we played the great St. Vitus very shortly after that.
Yeah.
Then you're probably familiar with the venue The Chance up in Poughkeepsie.
Whoa. Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't got to play there, though.
Oh, man, it's this wild old...
Because I was friends with the Agitpop guys. That's an old Po-Town band.
Yeah. Exactly. So This was really cool because the Chance, unfortunately, is closing after, 100 years of being open, and it's this really, really cool old-style theater.
Yep.
So that was great, man. So within a month, man, we went out and did three gigs, and we got a lot of great response, and now we're going out, and our next gig is actually with Max Cavalera.
Oh, wow.
Opening up for his band.
Wow. Look, is there a place on the internet people can learn about all your projects? Like, is there a Max Capshaw kind of information center or something? Because I want people
The best way to do it, is to go to the Instagram, which is all one word, Max Capshaw Drums, and look me up there. And I'm gonna put up actually a link to all the stuff, but it's got all the bands up there, and even some things we didn't get to talk about. A little thing I did that I got my daughter and my wife to sing in.
What's that?
Really, really well done. So
what's that, Max?
Oh, okay. So that was a recording I did that was really more kind of clean and pop stuff, and I called it the Shoebox Kid because when I was younger. As a kid, as a baby, my parents put me in a shoebox because we didn't have enough money for a car seat for the back of the VW.
Whoa.
So, yeah, man. And
better than the shine box. Go get your fucking shine box. Right? Oh, you used to shine them up really good like mirrors.
That's right.
Bobby. I don't know. Yeah, I don't shine shoes no more, Bobby. get your fucking shine. Yeah. Okay. So, you didn't give it to me. Next time you're on the show, please flow that so we can play it.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'll get that going. Yeah.
Well, okay. And further plans for the family band?
You know, we'll see what happens. Right now, my daughter's 14 with all the wonderful trappings of being 14.
She doing music?
She's not yet. We're not pushing her towards it. You know, if she gets with herself, that's the way she goes.
Yeah, should be. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll see what happens. So right now the Another Demon is really starting to rev up. It's got a V8 engine on it right now, so, I got to get into that car.
Absolutely. Understood. But I'm ready. Next time you got stuff, let me know. We'll come back on. Really.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for being on, Max.
Oh, man, Watt, this has been a dream, and I got to say the same thing I know that a lot of people say, man. You were such a huge influence on me, and to be on here, if someone had ever said that this was going to happen when I was younger, I would have freaked out.
We keep on keeping on. People, it's been the November 13, 2023 edition. Why, Peter, should keep you powdered.